Hallelujah. Glory to God. He's been good. And he's the same yesterday and forevermore. Which means he's good today and tomorrow and the next day and forever. Because God is good. And because he is good, he does good. Amen. He's just being who he is. A good God. That's what the children of Israel were told to say. For the Lord is good. And his mercy endures forever. For the Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever. Whatever you're going through this morning, the Lord is still good. And his mercy, his compassion, his grace still endures forever. And the good part about God's mercy and his grace is that it is sufficient. The Bible says Paul was dealing with this thorn in the flesh. The scripture says a messenger of Satan to buffet him. He says, I besought the Lord three times concerning this. And the Lord said, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. So Paul said, I figured out then when I'm weak, then I am strong because God's grace is sufficient. His grace and his mercy, they're really the same thing. I know sometimes people say one is God giving us something we don't deserve. The other is withholding something we do. And I'm all right with that. But when you go in the old covenant, his chesed, his mercy, translates in the New Testament, his grace. God is gracious, God is merciful, God is faithful, and it is sufficient. So whatever you're going through this morning, his grace is sufficient. Whatever you need this morning, his grace is sufficient. It's more than enough. Whatever you're dealing with, it's more than enough. God's just releasing to his people, I am that I am. I'm all that you need. Call on me. Pour out your heart to me. Look to me. I am gracious. Amen. Receive it by faith. Receive it by faith. You're in the right place if you're in Christ Jesus. You're in the place of the all-sufficient one. Everything that you and I will ever need, that all of humanity will ever need, is in him. The Bible says, in him we live. In him we move. In him we have our being. Paul picked it up in Colossians. We are complete in him. Whole, well, sound. Now, we may not feel like it. It may not look like it. But God wants us by faith to receive wholeness from him. And then let what we receive in our spirit begin to be manifested in our everyday experience. That's how the things of the kingdom of God work. The just shall live by faith. God's going to show you the picture of it from his word. We said that over and over again. We said it yesterday in men's ministry. God will give you the image, the picture of how it's supposed to be. And then if we embrace it by faith, that image will develop in our lives. You remember those old Polaroids? Some people still have them if you can find it. You used to put the cartridge in there. You snap that thing and it comes out the other side. You look at it, it's black. You start waving it or blowing it or, or putting it down on the table. Then you go back and get it and the image that was there is developed. Well, that's how this thing of faith works. God's going to give you the image in your spirit before you see it in the natural. But it's there. And he just wants us by faith to claim it and embrace it and declare it daily while we await the full manifestation of it. But you got to get the image for it first. And the Word of God creates the image. The Word of God gives the revelation. The Word of God gives the truth. And then our faith, agreeing with God, is what's going to bring the manifestation. It's all in the book. This isn't anything new. It's been that way from the beginning. God just wants this generation, by faith, to walk in it. By faith, to walk in it. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Bless the Lord. We are more than conquerors. We are more than victorious. But you got to see it. You got to believe it, because it's in Christ Jesus. No matter what I'm going through now, it's temporary. But God's word is eternal. Paul wrote, "For we look not at the things which are seen." He didn't say they didn't exist. He says, "We look not at we don't consider the things that are seen. For the things that are seen are temporal, subject to change. But the things that are unseen are eternal." We've got to receive the eternal things of God by faith, by His word, because those things will last. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 15. Well, starting at 14. Paul writes to his son in the faith, Timothy, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child or a babe or an infant thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God," meaning God breathed, God released it, "and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect," or complete, "thoroughly furnished unto all good works." We thank God for His holy, His blessed word. We're revisiting this text this morning. I referenced it either last week, couple of weeks ago, but in the last couple of weeks, we referenced this text in relation to our young people, but also to all of the people of God, because God wants us to be anchored, confident that His working in us is present and it's not in vain. The scripture tells us that he that hath begun a good work in you, he will perform it. He will perfect it. He will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. God is working on his people. Amen. And in this process of being under construction, we've said many times before, he's transforming us into his very image, into the image of Christ. How many of you have heard that before? And this process that he has started in us, he will complete it. It's certain God will complete it. He will complete it with or without our help. I want to say that again. He that hath begun a good work in you shall perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He's going to complete it whether his children work with him or not, because God is the one that is doing this. The benefits of our working along with him is, number one, I have the revelation that God is working with me in the process. The process goes more quickly when we work with God as opposed to working against him. And we are maturing to a place where we can be more effective for the kingdom of God. Are you with me? So he's going to finish the process. If I get saved and stay a baby, all of my Christian life at the end, God's still going to complete that process because he is the one that's accountable to do it. If I get saved and work with God, grow in the scriptures, the Bible says grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If I work with him through the process, I will be a maturing Christian as opposed to a baby infant Christian. And I will be participating with the plan of God for my life. But either way, he's going to finish this thing. He just wants us to be workers together with him. And we do that by following God's instructions for our growth. You with me? So here we see, this is the process. Paul reminds Timothy that I want you to be confident of this. You've learned the truth. I want you to continue in that truth that you've been taught, the things that you've learned and that you're confident of. Verse 15, and that from a babe, from an infant, thou hast known the holy scriptures, the word of God, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. How could he, from a baby, from an infant, have known the scriptures? Exactly. Those in authority, his mother, his grandmother, which Paul speaks of in another place, perhaps whatever the contributions of his father, but he learned these things because the responsible adults that were accountable for his growth and maturity were doing what they were charged to do. That is, instructing him, speaking the word, reading the word to him, even as an infant, even as a babe, they're speaking the word, reading the word, reciting the word of God, teaching the word of God, and as a result, these things have been in him from a baby all the way up. Now, folks, everybody isn't there. Would you agree? Some folks come to the Lord later in life, adults. Some older, elder adults. Others come as teenagers, you know, young adults, 20s, 30s. So that may not be each of our story. But at whatever place we get to know the Lord, it's important that the Holy Scriptures, the Word of God, become a part of our lives. And those of us who now know God or are getting to know him better, who are having children, it's important for us that we are sharing the word of God, teaching the word of God, speaking the word of God over them, releasing God's word. Elder often takes us to, I think it's, is it Deuteronomy, where he talks about you to teach these things when you get up in the morning. You're to teach the law, the word, when you lie down at night, when you're sitting at your table, when you're going out through the gates, when you're coming in. It's to be a part of our way of life, not something that we do casually, but something that we do consistently. Because he says that these scriptures, verse number 16, God released them. God breathed them. They came out of God. God gave his word to humanity, to his people. And he says they are beneficial. They are profitable, right? He says they are profitable for instruction or for doctrine, for teaching, to learn what's right. They are profitable for reproof, to correct errors. They are profitable for correction to get you back on track and to instruct us in righteousness. Meaning, what does God say is right? In a time and a world where man chooses his own definitions or opinions of what's right and wrong, God has given us what he, our creator, says is right. And then he gives us the Holy Spirit to teach us rightly, correctly. So we're not just reading a passage of scripture and then just trying to do that scripture without the truth of what it's really saying. God is righteous. He is right always. He's never wrong. He's never wrong. He never misses the mark. He set the mark. He never misses the standard. He is the standard. You've heard of the gold standard? He is the standard. So the creator of everything gets to determine what's right and what's wrong. And he says this book, the Word of God, is profitable in teaching what God has breathed out that's right. The Bible said there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is death, or the end thereof is destruction. Too many people are doing what seems right, or what they think is right, or what they feel is right, or what someone else says is right or wrong, because I just want to be a contrarian, and if you say it's right, I'm going wrong. Because I'm going to do my own thing. But God has set the standard of what is right. And he says, my word is profitable. Now, somewhere in the book of Isaiah, I think it's chapter 47. Would one of you all look? Isaiah 47, somewhere around 13, 14 verse, somewhere around there. You all look for it. It says that it is the Lord that teacheth us to profit. P-R-O-F-I-T. He teaches us to profit and leads us in the way that we should go. Somewhere around there. We got them. They'll find it. God is the God of profit, of increase, but he wants us to profit in every righteous way. So he's going to teach us how to profit, meaning how to do it right, how to gain, how to increase in wisdom, in knowledge, in revelation, in favor, in grace, financially, socially, physically, economically, mentally. He's going to teach us how to profit. See, folks, you can't make it long always at a deficit. At some point, what is it, sir? 48:17. Isaiah 48:17, thank you. It is the Lord that teacheth us to profit and leads us in the way that we should go. We can't keep working at a deficit. Because once you're at a deficit, then you got to keep borrowing and begging. And the Bible says the borrower is servant to the lender. As long as we have to keep borrowing anything, as long as you got to keep borrowing, we are never where God wants us to be. Because we're always beholding to someone else. Then we see Paul saying, owe no man anything but to love him. Which means God wants to teach us how to profit in every area. Spirit, soul, body, to be whole. But if we won't follow his instructions, if we won't do it God's way, then we're going to keep hitting and missing and trial and error. Trial and error, trial and error. That is not the kingdom way. Trial and error is not God's way. It's the world's way. I'm keep trying till I get it. I'm keep trying till I get it. That don't work. Try something else. How much time are we wasting through trial and error? How much money are we wasting through trial and error? How many years of our lives are dwindling away through trial and error? How much heartache are we dealing with through trial and error? When God knows everything. Amen. And he's willing to reveal his will to his people. We've just got to decide. I want God's way. I want to do this thing God's way. I say this every week. I mean, you know, the Lord willing, I'll say it every week. Because these are the important fundamental things that's going to help his people grow. He says all scripture, everything that God breathed, everything that God released, not man's interpretation, man's stuff, but everything that God has breathed out of himself is profitable. And the last verse says that the man of God, the woman, all that the people of God, the child of God, may be perfect, complete, mature, lacking nothing, thoroughly furnished, equipped, outfitted unto all good works. That's what the word says. God wants us to be equipped for any and every good work. And again, he is the one that determines whether a work is good or not. He's the one. So why am I saying this? Young people, wake up. This is for you. Just like Timothy was reminded how the word of God was vital to his growth, his maturity from a baby. God wants his people to understand how beneficial his word will be to his people, to us. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by what? Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. In Proverbs 22 and verse 3, and Proverbs 27, we find these words. I'll start at verse 1. A good name, 22, is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. The writer is saying, if you had a choice of the best silver and the finest gold and a good name and the loving favor of God and with man, he's saying the good name and the favor is rather to be chosen. Amen. Choose a good name. Choose the favor of God and with man. If you remember, again, over the last few weeks, we talked about how there were some young people, if it might have been last second Sunday, I'm not sure, how they acquired the favor of God and man. Right? We talked about Samuel. We talked about John. And we talked about Jesus. Right? A good name and the favor of God and man. If you had a choice between favor and silver and gold, God is saying choose the favor. If you have a choice between a good name and material wealth, choose the good name. A lot of people with material things, but their name isn't worth anything. Their word isn't worth anything. But they got a lot of stuff. But they've got a bad reputation. Amen? There are a lot of people with stuff, but people don't like them. And they're always leery about the people around them because they're wondering, are they around me for me or for what I have? It's what you have. I'm talking about them, those that have a bad name, bad reputation. People don't really trust them, but they're still around. We don't have to call no names. Just listen to the news, watch the headlines, and you do with it what you will. People with power, with money, with influence, but bad reputation. So young people and all the rest of us that are young at heart, aging gracefully, God is giving us wisdom about what's important, what he values, and what ultimately people will esteem and value. Okay. What he values, what people will esteem and value. Verse 2, 22:2, and I'm almost done. The rich and the poor meet together. The Lord is the maker of them all. Everyone, rich and poor, will have to give an account to God. They're all going to meet together. God made them all. Listen to verse 3. A prudent man, a wise man, a shrewd man or person, man is italicized, it's gender neutral, male and female, foresee the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. A wise person, a prudent person, a shrewd person, perceives, sees the danger, sees the harm, sees the evil in advance, afar off, and then hides him or herself, protects him or herself, gets in the safety place, the safe place of God. But a foolish person just goes on down the road, giving no care about anything until they are hit with that calamity, with that danger. Why is this important? Because God again will reveal to us the way that we should go so that we can be shielded and protected from the wicked, from the evil that's all around. Remember the writer said, when I would do good, evil is present. When I would do good, evil is present. So we need to know it's out there. A wicked world, wicked Satan, wicked devil, just waiting, seeking whom he can devour. But the Bible tells us him resist steadfastly in the faith. So God's going to prepare his people if we'll listen. God will equip us, saints, if we'll listen. God will give you revelation if we listen. God will warn us of danger if we listen. But if we just go on our way, not paying attention to the things of God, the evil, the danger, the harm is there waiting. So, what am I saying? What am I saying, huh? This is what I'm saying. So, what's in the news? We've got a governor that's in trouble for photographs back in the 80s. We've got an attorney general that's in trouble for photographs decades ago. We've got a lieutenant governor that has accusations. They haven't been proven yet, but accusations regarding past behavior. God wants to warn his people. You need to see down the road. You just can't consider the moment or consider the now. But God wants to equip his people to consider the consequences, to see the potential down the road. Because you're young now. But if you live long, you're going to get older. So all this stuff on Instagram, on Snapchat, on Facebook, on Twitter, all this stuff we do out in public, all you need now is a cell phone. And you can capture all kinds of stuff. You need to be mindful that what you do today could come back to haunt you 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30 years from now. And that moment of folly, of foolishness, lack of restraint, carelessness could have long-lasting repercussions. Can I get a witness here? So God wants his people to be wise. So, Timothy, remember, you've known the word of God since a baby, and that the holy scriptures are able to make you wise unto salvation through Jesus Christ. God wants his people to be wise. Don't just keep going down the road with that foolishness. See all them video stuff we watch now that we laugh at people, all that kind of stuff, they weren't wise. Now we're laughing at them. And a lot of this stuff, you know, there are a lot of employers now, they are searching social media to see what you got out there, even determining whether you're worth hiring or not. So God wants us to be wise. Is this helpful? He wants us to use some wisdom. I know you're young, but it's still not too early to start learning wisdom. And it's not too late, because God is the God of redemption. Amen. He's the God of a second chance, a third chance, another chance. So yes, all of us have a past. But thanks be to God, in Christ, we have a future. And God is able, depending on what his ultimate plan is, he can wipe your slate clean. Or he can give you favor, even though there is a record. God moves with favor to get you released from prison early, to get you a job that you probably shouldn't have had because of past. All those things, when we submit our lives to God, he is still able, with our mistakes, with our mess ups, with our track record, to still open doors for us now that we are new creatures in Christ. Yeah. So this isn't like it's hopeless, because in God it's never hopeless. It's just a word to the people of God that it's time for us to start growing up, use some wisdom. Amen. I'm almost done with that. Said a lot? Thank you, Sister Walker. So it's time to start now. You can go through the Bible. This book is a book of redemption, of the love of God for mankind, fallen man, man full of errors and mistakes who look to God, and God embraces and redeems them, gives them a brand new lease on life, and then sends them forward to do great kingdom things. It's also a word for us to be wise, so that a lot of things we can avoid. We can avoid things. And we have examples among us that can tell us about their trials and mistakes. Not for us to judge them, but for us to learn from those issues. I mean, we're going to make enough mistakes on our own. We sure don't need to repeat other people's. Amen. We're going to make enough on our own. You know, hard-headed, stubborn, won't listen, want to do our own thing. I don't want to repeat yours on top of mine, or you to repeat mine on top of yours. Learn from mine. So at least you won't have to deal with that. And then as we learn the scriptures and God makes us wiser and wiser, we will avoid a lot of mess that we don't have to deal with. Amen. So finally here, 1 Timothy chapter 2, we're going to close here starting at verse number 1. So for the people of God, it's important for us to start searching the scriptures now. Learn what God says is right. And then as James said, be a doer and not a hearer only. Amen. Start hearing what's right and then trusting God to do it. Trust God to take care of our past, our present, and our future as we walk with him. And then as we finish up in 1 Timothy chapter 2, what else are we responsible for, saints of God? Paul instructs this same Timothy, his son in the faith. He says, I exhort therefore. And to understand the therefore, when you get a chance, you need to read ahead of that in the latter part of chapter 1. In fact, you could read the whole chapter 1 into chapter 2. I exhort you therefore, or in light of what I've previously said, that first of all, supplication, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men, or mankind, for kings, and for all that are in authority. Paul gives an instruction. You need to pray. You need to pray for all of humanity. You need to pray prayers of intercession on their behalf, supplication, prayers of thanksgiving. We need to be praying for humanity. For the king of this world and those who are in authority, kings and presidents and prime ministers and heads of country, heads of state, those in any area of authority, government, church, homes, work, community, we are to be praying the will of God for them, over them. Why? Because as we do this, we are positioned to lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. God wants his people to live a quiet and peaceable life with all the mess, with all the turmoil, with all the trouble. I want you, while you're journeying through this life, to live a quiet and peaceable life. You're listening to the headlines. Don't get all of sort because of what's happening in the government. Don't get tied up in knots because of Congress and the White House and the judiciary. Don't get caught up in all that. If you're going to listen to it so you know how to pray. so we can know how God wants to position us. Remember last week we talked about Habakkuk. How Habakkuk said, I'm going on my place. I'm going to get on my watch. And I'm going to listen, God, first of all, what you got to say to me and how am I going to answer you? We have a watch. We are the watchmen. We are the ones on the wall. We are the bridge between heaven and earth. The kingdom of God, the people of God. And that sounds, everybody, folks, you're not going to convert everybody. But listen to what he says, what he writes. Verse number 3. For this is good, musicians, we're ready, and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, or God is one, and one mediator, or peacemaker, between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. God has provided a way for everybody. And he wants us as his representatives to be praying, God save them. God deliver them. God transform them to align to your will. Why, yeah, that God transformed me to line up with your will and transform them to align with your will. God, bring peace, bring rest, bring your prosperity in the earth. As a witness for all that will accept, and really as a testimony against those that won't, unfortunately. We were talking about that in Bible study too. So I'm done, folks, but we'll get ready to close. But just think about this, and let's start today, because God wants us to be doers, amen, not hearers only. See, we can complain about the president, or we can pray. We can complain about the government, Democrats, Republicans, independents, or we can pray. We can complain about the economy, or we can pray. We can complain and get all out of sorts, get your blood pressure up, or you can pray and talk to God and then be doers of his will in faith. The just shall live by faith. Do you trust God? Then don't worry. And if we're worrying, it's time to stop and start trusting God in this situation. Cast all your cares upon me, saith the Lord, for I care for you. I care about you. Anyone, quickly, briefly.